Good morning, everyone. It's certainly good to be here, wasn't it? I sense God here this morning. Thank you, Brother Oren, for sharing. It's a blessing. Hey, I want to welcome all the visitors. You Bible school students, Lord bless you. You have a special place in my heart. I was telling the brothers, these young people, and not only the ones that come to Bible school, are real people. They have real lives, experiences. They have real battles. They're at a place in their life where they're trying to decide who they are and what they believe. And so, congregation, this is a real opportunity for us to be involved, maybe indirectly, in their lives. As you host them, as you help with all the logistical things at Bible school, I'm going to bless you for that. Those of you who help set up on Wednesday, such a blessing. We all work together, and in an hour, we basically mission accomplished. So I want to bless you for that. This is helping to build the kingdom of God. This is helping to build the future church. Not only the future church, they are the church also. They're part of the church. Amen. Well, I feel a need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ to come and anoint this service. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, that name which is above every name, King Jesus. We worship you this morning. We adore you. We bow before you with our hearts and our lives and our will. God, we ask, Father, that you would come and anoint this service. Lord, without you, all would be vain. So, Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit move among us this morning and empower us, Lord, to preach the word of God. And Lord, we want to be receptive of what we hear. If we need a warning, Lord, may that be so. If we need encouragement, I trust we will be encouraged. And Lord, whatever you have for us, we want. We submit to you, God. Come and anoint this service. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is very, very basic, but I just want to let you know, I don't know if I ever told you, God loves you. Did a preacher ever tell you that? God loves you. I don't know if I ever told you that, but that is amazing, that God loves you. So I want to let you know that. You are precious in his sight. You are special. I'm not trying to flatter you. God is very interested in each of our lives. We are worth more to him. I say we and I, but I say I'm going to try and speak this in the context of the church. But we are worth more to him than the whole wide world. And Jesus would have come, if we were the only church on this earth, and we're not, but if we were the only church, would Jesus have come to die for us? Absolutely. Christ is very interested in this church. And if you're not from this body here at Joy, he's very interested in your church. You as an individual and you as a church. We are his treasure. He chose us to be his bride. Our salvation costs heaven the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus. We were bought with a tremendous price. He loved us to the greatest extent of love that he gave his life and shed his own precious blood for us. Praise God, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Praise God, he didn't condemn us when he seen us in our sin. When he seen us as individuals, he didn't. He looked beyond our faults. He seen our needs. He seen our sin. And he did something about it. Amazing love, Charles Wesley said. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? In our place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Does that thrill you this morning? Amen. And now he's in heaven awaiting the time that only God knows that he's going to say, Jesus, go back for your bride. Bring him to yourself. And what a day that will be. Hallelujah. What a day that will be when he comes for his bride. Those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that are spotless. Those who have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Until then, we are called to represent Jesus and his kingdom to a lost and dying world for whom he also died. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, and it's a very familiar passage, and I love it. It's a challenge to me. But ye are a chosen, King James says, a chosen generation, and ESV says, you're a chosen race. And we are a chosen generation. We are a chosen people. This chosen group of people are made up of all nations, kindred people, and tongues. There's going to be Christians, I believe, from every race, every tongue, every nation, when we get to heaven around the throne. So we are, you and I, as a church, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, royalty. We are his children. We are heirs with God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're a child of the King, royalty. We are a holy nation. I'm putting the emphasis on holy. We are a holy people. The Church of Jesus Christ is holy. It's made up of holy people living holy lives. A peculiar people, which is a people for his own possession, for his own prize. Jesus is possessive of his church. Do you know that? He cares deeply about it. Look what it cost him. Wouldn't you, if you gave everything for something, wouldn't you be a bit possessive of something? We are possessive of things that are very important to us. We're possessive about our children, and we should be. Jesus is very possessive of his church. He cares deeply about his church. We are his own possession, that you may proclaim or show forth the praises. The ESV says, and proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is our mission, folks. That is our mission as individuals and as a church in the context of the church. That is our mission, that we show forth and proclaim Jesus and his kingdom to a lost and a dying world. God has always had his faithful remnant through the years, through the centuries, from the beginning of the church, even in the Old Testament, God had his faithful men and women who were not defiled, who were not going away from him. He always had his remnant people. Jesus Christ has his remnant church today. The question is, are we going to be part of that remnant church? Are we a part of the faithful? We're talking about our church. The title of my message is, Help! We are being hijacked! That's the title. And don't come to any conclusions now before we finish this. I'm not suggesting that our church is being, that we are. I'm not suggesting that. So just hold. Don't come to any conclusions. I put a hotline through yesterday. How many of you got the hotline? There were two questions. What did I ask you to think about? What's the first one? Say it again. Yeah. Is Satan hijacking our church? How did I word that? Is it possible for Satan to hijack our church? I think is that what I said? Something like that. Yeah. If Satan would hijack our church, what would it look like? Now, I think that was the second question. Is it possible for Satan to hijack our church? Is it possible for us to get hijacked? Is it possible for Satan to come into our church some way, whether as a roaring lion or an angel of light, and hijack us and get us off course? Is that possible? Are we exempt from that? Of course not. We are not exempt from that. If there's any good, any righteousness, any good thing that is happening in a church, mark it down. You're a target of Satan. Whether that's you as an individual, you're living a life of godliness, you're a target. If your family is a blessing, you're serving the Lord, you're raising up godly children and youth, and they're doing damage to God's, to pardon me, Satan's kingdom, you're a target. If your church is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, and good things are happening, and people within the church are being ministered to, and the gospel is going out, mark it down. We're a target. Joy Christian Fellowship is a target of Satan. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Satan wants to overthrow our church if he can? I don't want to be a gloom and doom preacher. We're going to get to the good stuff later. But I just want us to be aware that this is a possibility, that Satan could hijack this church, could derail us. That is indeed a possibility. How can that happen? How might he do it? What can we do as a body, at Joy, to fortify and shield ourselves against this possibility of Satan achieving his goals? You know, as I talk to ministers, other ministry, other churches, there is a real attack on churches here in this latter day. Satan is out to get the church. He's out to get pastors. He's out to get families, individuals. And we should be keenly aware of his tactics. We need to know what's going on. Is Satan trying to hijack our church? Yes. We're in a war, folks. I think I mentioned that before in another sermon. We are in a war, the war between good and evil. There is tension between the forces of the devil and the kingdom of light. There is a war going on since the church has been established, or since the creation, really, from its beginning. And folks, we're living in the last days, and this tension, this war, the intensity of this fight is going to only increase. It's not going to get any less. It's going to get more intense. In the end times, there will be a great falling away from the faith. Many will be deceived. And the Bible says, I think it's in Revelation, unless the days are shortened, the faith of many will be obliterated. And I paraphrase that. The battle is real. He targets us personally, our family, our churches. Our society is being bombarded with the agenda of wickedness on every front. And so are we, and so is the church. We are being bombarded with falsehood, with evil, trying to penetrate into our lives, into our families, into our church. Satan is a prince and power, the prince of the power of the air. He uses every advantage he can to overthrow us. He uses the news media. The news media is shaping our society for, and not for good. They are using, Satan, I should say, is using the news media to overthrow our society, or to, yeah, bring it down even to a lower, more ungodly way. So we need to be careful. He uses technology, the internet. Satan is a prince of power of the air, I said. He's using technology to get his agenda. He's using the educational system. Terrible. What they teach in our public schools, I say their public schools, throughout this land. And I'm not going to go into that. The entertainment world, the music, it's all saturated with a wicked agenda. We're talking about the possibility of getting hijacked. We're talking about all this pressure that comes on our society. And inadvertently, we are in this world. We're not supposed to be of the world. But it does create a threat to us, does it not? The society in which we live, we need to be careful that the society in which we live, that mentality, that thinking does not rub off on us and obliterate our faith, just to destroy it. We should not be ignorant of his devices. Satan is attempting to desensitize us to wickedness. He endeavors to create havoc in relationships between individuals within the church, driving wedges between husband and wives, and even friction in the ministry. That is a real threat. All of them are. So, let's pray for each other. Amen. We'll get to that later. Things that we can do to help. We are living in the last days. And 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy there, but wicked men and imposters or deceivers will go from bad to worse. And I'm using from the ESV. Deceiving and leading astray others and being deceived and led astray themselves. Satan is seeing to it that he has his agents that are to engage in deceiving and leading people away. Wow. Satan knows his time is short. The devil and his forces are working overtime to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. People will be lovers of self. 2 Timothy, I'm quoting from 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Just to give you a picture, just to remind you again of what we're facing. And I don't want us to forget about this. Not that we focus on it, but we need to keep it in the back of our minds. This is what's happening. People are lovers of self. Whatever pleases them, whatever feels good, disregarding the feelings of others, disregarding the law of God. They are lovers of themselves. You know, I don't go to Park City a lot just for that reason. That Park City thing, it just is screaming self. That's not my message, but you get it. Lovers of self, lovers of money, the American dream. People are go after the almighty dollar. That's their focus. Paul tells Timothy, people are going to be boastful in the last days. They're going to brag. They're going to be proud. They're going to be haughty. There's going to be railers. Railers means to complain and to protest. Railers, people that will rail. Unthankful. They have the attitude that they have things coming to them. And they deserve. We deserve our rights. We deserve to live a good life. We deserve the American dream. Unthankful. Just taking the blessings of God for granted. Unholy. Without natural affection. Wow. And we're seeing that a lot today. Without natural affection. Slanderers. Speaking evil. Evil speaking of one another. A disrespect for authority. Parental and civil and spiritual. Without self-control, people just going with no regards to their appetites. Fierce. Fierce. I think that the Hollywood movies today are producing, and all the video games and all the violent games that, you know, we can find on the internet and computer, are producing a generation of people with no conscience. They are fierce. They can take a gun and just shoot people at random without blinking an eye. No conscience. Fierce. Haters of that which is good. Anything that is good and right, they hate. Traitors. Meaning two-timers or a betrayer. They're betraying. Stubborn, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. This is the culture. This is the environment which we find ourselves. So I just said this to warn us. Let's be on our guards. So it is not a matter of if Satan will try to hijack us, but how will he try to do it? That is the real question. Satan will try to hijack this church. Satan, if your church is a godly church, good things are happening, Satan will have you as a target. So I ask you the question, how would Satan try to hijack our church? And I'm opening up this question and I want you to give your input. How would Satan hijack our church? What is he going to try to do? You had some time to think about that. How would Satan hijack this church? Or your church, where you go to?
Sow discord.
So what does that mean? How would one sow discord? Yes. Gossiping, sowing discord. Did you hear about, I don't agree with that. Sowing discord, sowing discord among the brethren. By the way, God really hates that. Isn't that he hates, what is it, six things and yea, seven? Sowing discord among the brethren. That is a real tool that Satan could use here at this church and your church, sowing discord. That's a real threat. How else? Eugene.
Dividing us into different groups and then opposing each other instead of working together.
Mm-hmm. Eugene says dividing into different groups. You know, we have sides. We have this clique, that belief. And then opposing each other, so there's friction. And rather than all coming together and say, hey, let's not let this happen. Let's talk this out. Let's come to a consensus. Let's submit one to another. That's a real threat. Creating sides and friction. Yes, Mose.
Get us distracted from prayer and Bible reading.
Get us distracted from prayer and Bible reading. Thank you. That is a real threat. Busy, doing good things, but not having time to connect with God. Not availing of ourselves of the greatest power that we could have as Christians. Prayer is powerful. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So prayer and Bible reading. If we're a prayerless people, if we're not into the Word of God, if we're not feeding our souls, we're being weakened. Yeah, that is a real threat. John.
Lukewarm.
So let's break that down a little bit. How would that affect us? What is a lukewarm person? Well, complacency maybe. Don't really care. Just living with really no goals, no aspirations, just hanging out, casual Christianity, a don't care attitude. That is complacency. A lukewarm Christian is that type. Isn't it? Am I being too hard on that? No. Satan likes to get lukewarm. And God hates it. He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth if you're lukewarm. And that's not a good commentary. May that not be said of us at Joy Christian Fellowship. I'll let you. Yes, Nolan. Discouragement. Yeah, that's real in my life. I must confess. Sometimes I get discouraged. You know, and when I'm discouraged, I don't feel like leading. I don't feel like being your pastor. I don't feel like I can rise up and do what I have to do. Let's just be honest. And you can put your situation, if you're a father in the home and you're discouraged, that is a real trick of the devil. That is one way he can get us to be, useless and ineffective. Nolan. That's coming. That's a good part, okay? I can't wait to get to that. But let's talk a little bit yet. Do you have any other thoughts? How would Satan hijack us? That's your brother. Merv.
He sends in little foxes, and they're really cute.
He sends in the little foxes to spoil the vines. It's little things that seem kind of insignificant and cute. And for some reason, it doesn't alarm us. But it's just kind of like boiling the frog. You know what I mean? You can actually boil a frog and he won't jump out of the water. If you turn that temperature of that water up just really slowly, he will adapt to his surroundings. And it seems rather harmless, but I think eventually it would kill him. It would cook him . So it's the little things, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Anything else?
Unsubmissive to authority.
How would that reveal itself? In the last days, it says disobedient to parents, challenging authority, civil authority,
spiritual authority. That is real. We live in a society, folks, that has rebelled against all establishment, and it happened in my generation, and I've seen it in the 60s with the hippie movement drastically change. Everything is questioned. Everything that was solid, the cornerstones, the milestones were all uprooted and thrown in the river. Basically, I'm saying that. I'm using that as a metaphor. That has happened. From the clothing we wear, to the music we listen to our theology about life, our worldview, all that has been pulled up by the roots and chucked. And disrespect for authority is a big one. Look at the people in the cities. Look at the disrespect for the policemen. Horrible. Calling them pigs and, yeah. Disrespect for authority. Okay, Mose.
Good activities. Good activities in the church.
Okay, say that again. A lot of do-good activities.
Good activities without godliness.
Yeah. Just a form of godliness without the inner experience. That is a threat. We can look good on the outside. We can be doing a lot of good things, but we can be rotten to the core. You know that? We can come to church and look nice and dress nice, and but we can be rotten to the core. A lot of good things. Yes. So could somebody repeat that? Okay. Amen. Just being lax in our sharing the gospel. A non-caring attitude about the lost. Yeah. That's a result. That's a result of a deeper issue, isn't it? Yeah. That's when we lost our first love. I'm just going to read down my list really quickly. We need to keep moving here. Sowing discord, gossiping, spirit of distrust, idolatry, sports, fashion, hunting. I love to hunt. But you know what? If that's my life, if that is where my affection is, it's wrong. It's idolatry. These things are real. Social media, internet, radio, Hollywood movies, it's all a part of Satan trying to hear you would use that. And I'm not suggesting social media is all wrong. I just say we need to be careful. We need to be alert. We need to be very careful of how we use the internet. Yeah, our brotherhood just adopted a statement on the internet. Yeah, it's a heart issue. Materialism, the American dream, worship of self, love of this world, spiritual pride. Spiritual pride. Yeah, we're better than the church down the road. And they're just Mennonites and they don't have it. And this church over there, they're liberal. And we're just about, you know, spiritual pride. God deliver us from that. God cannot bless a church that is proud. Legalism, trusting in your own works, just being very legalistic, adopting a list of rules and just carrying them out to the T with no fire of God in the heart. On the other side of that ditch is just a looseness and everything goes. That's also a ditch. Lukewarmness, complacency. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And I looked at that and I think I have it right. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Jesus talked about to the church at, which church was it? One of these churches there in Revelation. And that's a mixing, listen, it's a mixing of truth and falsehood. It's what it is. And boy, I shouldn't have said that. Church, we need to be aware of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We need to be aware of false doctrine that is floating around. Yes, in Christian radio, that has done tremendous damage to the churches over the years. Now, for the positive, quickly. What can we do as a body of believers at Joy and your church to fortify, to shield ourselves from this possibility of Satan achieving his goal to overthrow us and hijack us, to lead us away from Christ, to lead us away from truth? What can we do as a church? Are we here helpless and wringing our hands? I just hope that we don't get deceived.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen. Thank you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Folks, let's keep our eyes on Christ. And that sounds trite. It sounds very... Yeah. When we look to Jesus, we are going to obey his word. We're going to put into practice, into our lives, what he wants us to do. There's a lot that goes into that, just looking unto Jesus. It's more than just that nice, fuzzy feeling of, that's a good concept. We need to deny ourselves. If we're going to see Jesus correctly, we're going to have to deny ourselves. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we are going to see ourselves. Do you realize that? It's impossible, I think. I know. It's impossible to get real close to Jesus without seeing who you are as a person. The closer you get to the Lord Jesus and I, the more we're going to see our own undoneness, our own sin, our own failures, our own rottenness, and that we need more of him. Looking unto Jesus. Mike.
Yeah, just to flesh that out, the disciples, the 12 disciples were just a motley crew. They didn't get along well with each other, but they were close to Christ. They were all, Christ was their central theme, or their leader. And because of Christ, they were able to walk together.
Mm-hmm.
Without Christ, they wouldn't walk together.
Mike says that when Jesus called his disciples, they were just a motley crew. They were just common men. But they were somehow able to focus on Jesus Christ and to allow him to change their life. So in a nutshell, what you said. Yeah. Yeah. Nolan.
When the devil tried to hijack Jesus, he used the scripture. He used the scripture in Psalms. Psalms
1. Yeah, Nolan said that. When Satan tried to hijack Jesus, get him to sin, he used scripture. And he took scripture out of context. I see that being done a lot. Folks, let's be wise. Let's be students of the Word of God. Let's rightly divide the Word of truth. Let's be into the Word. Let's know the Word of God. Let's compare scripture with scripture. Let's talk about it as a brotherhood and come to conclusions of what this scripture means. It's so important. What else? Yes.
Focusing on the weapons of our warfare.
Focus on the weapons of our warfare. Now that's interesting. So we are to focus on them or not?
To focus on the weapons of our warfare.
We get too focused.
No.
Oh, that we need to realize our armor. The helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That would be a message in itself. But yes, we do have an armor. We do have a defense. We can go after Satan. We can do damage to his kingdom. We don't have to be there, you know, running. We can face our enemy in the power and in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The power is there. Eugene. Eugene said that I personally need to be responsible. First of all, I think as a person, my own life. Brothers and sisters, you need to take personal responsibility for your spiritual life. Unless you do that, this church will be, the church is made up of individuals. So we cannot rise above our individual connection with God. We need to take personal responsibility for your life, dads and moms, for your home, and us all together as a church. I challenge you to take responsibility. All of you that come to Joy and those of you who go to your church, take responsibility for the direction and the spiritual temperature of your church. I tell you what, us preachers can't do it. We can't do it alone. Please hear God in this. Take responsibility. Help this church, your church, to become what God wants it to be. Rather than sit back and, well, I'm going to watch this and see what happens here. No, get involved. I have a few minutes yet.
Encouraging one another with a positive influence.
Encouraging one another with a powerful A positive influence. Amen. Let's exhort one another. Let's be an encouragement. If we see somebody that's down, somebody struggling, maybe they fell. Let's not hit them over the head and smash them. Jesus didn't do that. Let's help them. Yes.
Love God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Loving God with all our heart. Oh my. We'll never get done exploring that. We never love God too much. But I'm going to quickly go through some of my points here. God hates hypocrisy. And I'm not implying, I can't see directly into your heart. But God can. God knows what's inside your heart. Are you being a hypocrite this morning? Are you pretending to be somebody you're not? Do you have sin in your life? May I challenge you? Do you have sin in your life? Are you toying with something that you know isn't pleasing to God? And you're coming here on a Sunday morning and you know the game. We want to do that. We want people to think well of us. But who are we? Who are you? I'm talking to myself. Am I real? Are you real? Your young people can tell you if you're real or not. People that live with you from day to day will know if you're real or not. They will see your life. Folks, we can't fool. We can't fool God. And we can't fool our young people. We can't fool our children. They're not dumb. They're observant. Let's be real. Confess your faults. Confess your sin. Flee from sin. Love God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Folks, God cannot use a proud, arrogant person in his kingdom. If you're proud and arrogant, and nobody's going to tell you what to do, God will not use you. In fact, could I doubt that person's salvation who is arrogant and unteachable and can't take any instruction? You know, What does it say in James? He's peaceable and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That's the kind of people we need. People that submit to one another, forgive. They prefer others. They forbear. They honor their fellow men. They're kind. They pray. They pray for each other. They spur, they provoke one another to love and good works. Rise up, O people. I'm asking you a joy in your church. Let's rise up and let's be the people that God has called us to. In order for that to happen, we're going to have to lay down our will, lay down our, and set our affection on Him and love Him. Amen. And this isn't in quite the right order here. Should have been probably said earlier. But let's look out for each other in our church. Let's defend each other. Let's cover each other's back. Let's also be willing to get in harm's way. When we see our brother out there, he fell, he took a hit. Am I willing to get my hands dirty? Am I willing to go out of my way to rescue that brother? In closing, I'm asking this church to hold the fort. Hold the fort. Jesus is coming back. I'm going to read this. Ho, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. Jesus is coming back. Let's hold on. Let's not give up. Let's press in. Let's be faithful. See the mighty host advancing. That is threatening. The mighty host. And we do see it advancing. Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling. Courage almost gone. You know, when we see people that we trusted, we see people that we looked up to that are falling or have fallen, it tends to affect us in a negative way. Let's hold the fort in spite of that. Let's hang on. See the glorious banner waving. Hear the trumpet blow. I see help coming. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe. We have a leader. We have a captain. His name is Jesus. He's willing to help us. He's willing to come alongside of us and protect us. Fierce and long the battle rages, but our help is near. Onward comes our great commander. Cheer, my comrades, cheer. Yay! Help is coming. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus said. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven. What is it? By thy grace we will hold the fort. Resolve. Not in our own strength, not pumping ourselves up, but in the name of Jesus, keeping Him the center of our life. Pursuing, hotly pursue. Be in hot pursuit. May I say that? Of Jesus. God bless you. That is the burden that I had this morning for this church. Let's hold the fort. God bless you. Sorry, I went 5 minutes over.
Thank you, Earl. Amen. be not ignorant of Satan's devices. I'm not sure where that scripture is, but it's in there. That we are not to be ignorant the way that he works. He has specific ways that he works. And we could have talked a lot more and had ideas and all that and brought some more scripture to bear on that of how he works. But, you know, one of the things of being ignorant of how he has worked in the past is a danger, not knowing how he has worked in the past. It helps us. I know we get tired of hearing it, but, you know, we have to know how, not be ignorant in the way that he does work and has worked and has derailed and has discouraged and has all that, but to have a confidence. Yeah, if anybody has anything to share, we have a little bit of time here. Raise your hand if you have something you'd like to add, something that you thought about. But yeah, I just want to thank you, Earl, for bearing your heart, and that definitely is a burden us as we are called to lead here, to be a give warnings and to lift up the word of God. I don't know if you know it or not, but Earl is a brother to Stanley Fox. He's the one that's going to be speaking the evening services. So you might hear a little bit of correlation when, if you heard him this morning, that they're brothers. So, anyway, anyone have anything? At least one have a comment, confirmation. Be not ignorant the way that he works. Be wise and not let him in your home. Don't be ignorant in your home with your children. That's another target. That is our family, is our little children. He targets them. And I tell you, we are in an age that, and I know we've been warning about the technology and all that, but just want to lift it up continually. Let us not be ignorant of the way that Satan does work. Okay, Clarence has something.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Earl, and also Orin, your message was beautiful. It really struck home, and yeah, we really have to stand on our guard. It says in Zechariah 3 that when Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord, that, and I've never seen that before, but God opened my eyes to it. And he said Satan was standing at his right hand. Can we imagine that? Mm-hmm. Joshua the high priest was appearing before the angel of the Lord, before God, and Satan was at his right hand. And God rebuked him openly. He said, Satan, flee from me in the name of Jesus. And God rebuked Satan. And how much more will we not have to rebuke Satan in our daily lives and in the wiles that he's trying to attack us with and destroy us with? So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I hope we added some knowledge to our understanding this morning. Adding. That's what we're doing. We're adding, right, Earl? We're adding. Yeah. God's grace. Adding his grace, the true grace. Talked about the true grace of God.
Yeah, thinking about your questions throughout the day yesterday and today again, one of the promise that Jesus said, and he said to Peter, upon this rock will I build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so it's a promise that Jesus has, but if we fail to look to Jesus, we don't stand a chance. But he is our hope, and he is our hope that he will build this church if we follow him and do his works. So I appreciate his promise in the word today.
Amen. Thank you. Marcus, that's something.
The Thank you, Earl, for challenging us with commitment. And I thought about the verse that says, knowing from whom you have learned it to pass it on to others in a faithful way. And I want to endeavor to do that and stand behind and be an encouragement. And I think it's a lot of unity, and who our church becomes is in discipling and also in committing to each other. Mm-hmm. Committing to follow, committing to love each other. I think if we can do that, have good discussions like Lyndon brings up, you know. If we have someone in our heart to sit down and be open and honest, have a good discussion. And I really thank you for that plea and that warning. And I take it to my heart, and I stand fully behind you all. And I want to be an encouragement and a blessing.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. All right. I think we better move along. Just want to say, Mervyn Burkholder, as I see you this morning, it brings back memories of we went to church together back in the 1900s together and with his family. And we have a lot of good memories of those times. So thank you for coming our way. Amen. God bless you. Okay. Why don't we stand for... Okay. Did you point, Roy? Okay. Point the songbooks in. Yes, okay. We'll have a word of prayer here, dismissal. Then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God this morning. I pray that you would use these things in our life to sharpen our senses against the evil of our day. Father, help us never to forget that we are men and that we need the power of God. We cannot fight this battle alone. We are no match for the enemy of our soul. So, Father, I thank you for the word of God. I ask your blessing on the people as we go, that you might go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.